You and your companions saved my life today.
Don Tenorio held a goblet of salvaged brandy in his hand as he stood on the terrace of his headquarters, gazing south across the lake to where the Smokies bled glowing molten stone. The sun had set. The sky behind the volcanoes was ashy mauve. Overhead, the deep purple was pierced with stars. Ryan sipped at his own goblet. It wasn't the first time he had tasted such high-quality pre-dark liquor. He was a Baron's son, after all. Still, he had to admit these scabbies did well for themselves. The red tiles of the floor shifted beneath his feet. The corners of his mouth tightened. He wasn't exactly unfamiliar with earth tremors either, but these were so frequent it began to gnaw at a man's nerves. He started to wonder if each little shake was all, or whether it was just the tune-up for a mighty blow.
You did a pretty fair job saving yourself.
Tenorio turned back, favoring his guest with a ghost of a smile.
Let us agree that you and your companions helped to keep me alive.
Ryan shrugged. After they had dined together, the Alcalde had asked if he might speak to Ryan privately on the terrace. Ryan had agreed, but reluctantly. By mutual consent, he led the group. If he gave orders, the others followed them. But they were a team, a family. He wouldn't, except under emergency conditions, make any decision affecting the group without consulting them. And he disliked anything that even smacked of dealing behind the others' backs, or cutting them out of the loop. But, provisionally at least, he trusted Tenorio. And just listening to their host speak his piece wouldn't chill anyone.
It was already my pleasure that you should be my guest so long as you pleased. It was and is my hope we might be able to establish some kind of trade relations with the North, although it will be a good many years before such becomes practicable, if ever. But now, I owe you a mighty debt of gratitude.
He set the goblet down on a table next to the half-full decanter of salvaged cut crystal.
Despite these things, there is a favor I am compelled to beg of you.
Within reason, you got it.
You may or may not find my request reasonable. I want to ask you to act as my emissary to Don Hector.
Ryan regarded the smaller man a moment. Immaculately turned out in a collarless cotton shirt and light blazer, Don Tenorio bore no resemblance to the blood-stained apparition that had helped him support an unsteady Christie on their rapid retreat from the ambush site in the derelict building.
I'm not sure what kind of a reception we could expect from your neighbors, Don Tenorio. They weren't too friendly to us the first time our paths crossed. And today, I don't think we helped their cause much, spoiling their attempt to snatch you and laying waste to a squad of their commandos.
The raiding party had been dressed and armed as Chichimecs. But they had all been human, and while none was fat, they had all been visibly better fed than the half-starved marauders who had besieged Ryan and his friends in the mechanics garage in the abandoned vill. The final proof had been the scabby woman who had first lured them into the trap and then fought the unknown muty monster's tentacles, not with panic, but with tiger-like ferocity. Tenorio knew her as Felicidad Mendoza, daughter of Don Hector's sec boss.
I still can't quite understand that play of theirs. Maybe they could have passed as a group of Chichimec raiders who had slipped in, and then they send in somebody as distinctive looking as that woman, somebody known to you and your sec people. Pretty much seems to undo the whole purpose of a ruse.
There may have been aspects to their plan that remain hidden from us.
A score of Tenorio's own sec people, led by Fiveax, had gone into the building after Tenorio and Ryan's party had escaped. They had taken no prisoners. They'd found no one alive inside. They had recovered the body of the wiry bodyguard, neck broken by the buttstroke from his own rifle, and 10 fake Chichimec bodies. None was that of Felicidad Mendoza. They had dumped a few pounds of dynamite wired up with underwater fuses into the atrium in hopes of dealing with whatever was living down there. How successful that had been, nobody knew. No mutant chunks had floated to the surface after the depth bombing, and none of them had felt like diving in for a closer look. Ryan didn't blame them. They hadn't, however, left in a hurry. The Jaguar Knights even recovered 6 or 7 of Jack's throwing knives from dead raiders. It was mostly a matter of convenience, since Jack had filed the things from suitable bits of scrap metal in a surprisingly short time. But he had been pleased, since you really couldn't have too many of the webs. Ryan had been surprised they had bothered. But the scavvies seemed to have it as a point of pride. Pundonor, they called it in Mex talk, that once they were inside a building, nothing would drive them out short of imminent collapse.
Also, Señorita Mendoza, while a fierce fighter and utterly without fear, as we ourselves witnessed today, has also a reputation for being, how do you say, somewhat precipitous. Rash, perhaps, is the word.
It'll do.
Under Don Hector, the only honor and status to be gained by women is won by bearing children. Despite that, and despite the iron discipline Hector clamps upon his people, there seems to be no controlling Felicidad. Some even say she, even more than the gross beast who is her father, is the author of the terror by which Don Hector increasingly rules his folk.
You make the prospect of a visit seem mighty attractive, Don Tenorio.
I am sorry. I must speak candidly, my friend. Please believe me when I tell you that I believe the risk to you in serving as my representatives would be slight. Don Hector does live by a code of honor, and he has always respected flags of truce in the past, even after relations between us began to grow difficult.
Why send us, then, instead of some of your own people?
Don Tenorio frowned thoughtfully, fingered his chin, went to gaze again at the volcanoes. The sky was black now, but for a blue band behind the mountains to the west.
To make a fresh start, I suppose. To try to reopen meaningful communications. We have never been truly friendly, his people and mine, since he began to consolidate the villages of the valley. With the coming of the Chichimecs down from the north, he has grown insistent that all the valley should be united under his rule. He has subjugated independent villages. He has even suggested that he might consider himself compelled to subjugate us as well. This we would resist. We do not emphasize warrior skills as he does, despite the fact that my personal guards are highly trained and enjoy styling themselves Jaguar Knights in response to Hector's corps of Eagle Knights. My security forces under the good Colonel Solano are small indeed, but most of my people, as you are aware, go armed, and the city would be a hard place to take from us by force. In truth, I don't think Hector could do it, for all his patient conscripts and sect men, and even his Eagle Knight elite. Any conflict between us can only strengthen the hand of the destroyers from the north. My people will never accept Hector's methods, much less his rule. Why does he have to reign over us? We would cooperate in any way. We could to fight off the invaders. It makes no sense.
Don Tenorio shook himself again. As if to break the spasm of a futile debate, Ryan sensed he had held with himself many times before.
I do not expect you to plead our case to Don Hector. What I want is for you to see if you can get him to talk with us, with me, again.
The volcanoes rumbled like far-off thunder. Out under the terrace came Colonel Solano himself, Don Tenorio's own sect chief. He was a tall, lean man with a neat mustache and sharply creased khaki clothes that, while not actually a uniform, looked quite a bit like one. With a brisk, professionally neutral nod to Ryan, he went to the alcalde and bent to speak quietly in his ear.
It seems a new element has arisen. Don Hector has sent his own emissary across the causeway, an Eagle Knight under a flag of truce. He has brought an invitation with a guarantee of safe passage for you and your companions to visit Hector in his current headquarters on Chapultepec.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
You're listening to Shaking Earth from the Deathlands series, produced in Graphic Audio. It's a movie in your mind. But what do you do when the show's over and you're wondering how to get your next Deathlands title? They're sold in truck stops across the U.S. and Canada, but they do go fast. If you can't find Graphic Audio there, we've got a number for you. 1-800-670-5220. That number and a phone are all you need to experience again the intensity of more Deathlands in Graphic Audio. When you call and order, we'll send your selection right away, so you can look forward to your next Deathlands in Graphic Audio, mile after mile. Just call 1-800-670-5220. Our customer support folks have a large selection of unabridged Deathlands titles, all produced in the same amazing Graphic Audio you're listening to right now. Call 1-800-670-5220. Our number is also conveniently printed on the cover of all of our audio thrillers. Deathlands in Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind. Due to intense violence and sexual situations, Graphic Audio is rated for mature audiences.